Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Everything is fighting. Yeah.
Test. All right. No, get it. No. Oh, I haven't plugged you in yet. There you go.
There we are. Yeah. Now we're talking.
Now we're talking.
We're cooking with the gas.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, that's saying the Age of Sigmar stuff. It's that fine line. It's like you can play it, and if people know what they're doing and they keep it small, the game is really fun.
I think even 2,000 points is pretty small. Because everyone's going to take a big monster.
Like, yeah, that's true.
You're going to take about, it's not quite half your points, but it's usually, from the ones I've seen, it's like at least a fourth of your points is a big monster.
It's about a third.
Depends. Because, the Empire have cheaper ones. Like, I know, I think Carl Franz on Griffin is, 480 or 5. And then, the Iron Jaws, Maw Crusher is 700.
Yeah.
So they kind of fall in that range. And obviously Archaean is, 900 points or some shit. Yeah.
Cetra's 1,000.
Well, yeah, Cetra's actually insane. Like, Cetra's actually super fucking good. So people are like, man, Cetra, he's really strong.
You got that giant crap model.
You know what? Cetra himself is sweet. You can definitely make your own chariot and have him work out.
Oh, I'm thinking. I'm sorry, not Cetra. Nagash.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. He's a giant one. Cetra's the one that's on the
four horse chariot.
The four horse chariot, which the chariot itself is okay. The problem is that yoke, and I built one, well, multiple for commissions, and you kind of want to fix part it. It's a kit bash. If you kit bash a bunch of the plastic chariot bits with him, and it'll work out. Looks cool.
When I was working on the Age of Sigmar. So since we're talking about it,
ooh.
I brought the General's Compendium.
Oh, yes, I have one as well.
You have one as well. Did you get a chance to look through it and everything?
I glanced at it. I looked at the points and stuff. I didn't go ham on it yet. I want to read it front to back.
I mean, what I like.
I know it has Path to Glory, which I'm excited about. I love Path to Glory.
It's $25, and normally GW would be like $25. It's just a pamphlet with the points in it. So,
it's not the recent Age of Sigmar books have all been like even my giant War Scrolls book was only $30.
Yeah,
it turns out Games Workshop softcover books reasonably priced.
Yeah, well, I mean, even their hardcover stuff isn't insane. It's just it's in line with their older stuff. I mean, you don't get a ton of rules in them, which is kind of what's sucky, but whatever.
They're nice.
They're nice. Yeah, it's good quality.
Yeah, they're nice. I have to say that the softcover books, I'm liking it. I'm enjoying the direction that Games Workshop is going. I felt that they were going in the wrong direction for a very long
erection.
Time. The wrong erection for a very long time, and I think that they're I don't want to say they've turned a corner yet, but I want to say that they've approached that corner and they're angling in that direction.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the moves with Sigmar are player friendly. I think the start collecting boxes are great. They're $85, and they're actually better than the old battalions from 6th edition.
Yeah, I mean, I still think it's it's not a solid enough game for me. It's one of those things that, I have the models already, so I might as well. It's still too weak of a game to be really interesting for me. As I say, it's one of those things that if it's small enough and you're friendly enough, it's a great game. But I don't know. I still can't see it being that big for just pickup or stuff like that. I will.
I'm rapidly approaching completing my small amount of Nurgle demons.
Nurgle. Nurgle.
I'll start playing some pickup games as I work on adding more to the force, and I will go through the journey,
path to glory.
The path to glory. I'm going to go in and get points for the Campagan.
Well, it's definitely picking up steam. I mean, I know a lot more people are interested in it.
Yep. Oh, the perfect example is the Stormcast and the Khorne Bloodbound from the starters used to be dirt cheap everywhere on eBay. Now they're actually kind of pricey.
Yeah, they're not that pricey.
I said kinda.
Yeah.
Like, in comparison to what they were when it was coming out, they're like, wow, those are expensive.
I mean, it's just slight peak. I think that
we'll see if it sustains.
Yeah, I don't think it's got the sustainability. I think one of the biggest issues right now is that, well, a couple things. You know, GW just discontinued the weekly White Dwarf thing that they were doing.
Bring it back monthly.
It's monthly, but it's only going to be past month's releases. So when you get yours in, what's next month, August, when you get August White Dwarf, it's going to cover all the July releases. So it's pretty retroactive. So it doesn't build the hype that you kind of want. And this is, talking to a GW manager, he was like, they need to make it so that it hypes up for the next month's releases. So the people are like, yeah, I fucking want that. Mm-hmm. And and the magazine's not going to be doing that. It's going to be, oh, we're going to be covering Illyrial on her dung beetle. And it's
dude,
like,
that beetle's awesome. I fucking love that thing.
Awful. I spent 20 minutes in the Games Workshop store bitching about that beetle.
I love how like overwhelmed you are on opinion on that.
I hate that thing.
Even people
so
who
much.
Vehemently hate Games Workshop are like, yeah, that thing's pretty cool.
No.
You're the only holdout.
I am. It's a terrible model.
I love it so
well,
cool.
I hate all the... I said that on the podcast. I hate all of those tree models.
You're just betrayed about the wood elves.
I a little bit am. It might be a little bit from that. I really do love wood elves. Wood elves was my first army in like 4th edition when I first started playing. It was right on that cusp.
Oh, I know the salt related to having a specific pet army.
And I loved... Well, I mean, it was never a bad army. I loved playing Wood Elves. I loved them in 5th edition. And even when they came out in 6th edition, I loved playing the Wood Elves. I painted for... When I worked at the bunker, I painted Wood Elves for like 4 months straight.
Yeah,
just
I know.
Like massive amounts of Wood Elves. Because they were like, what project do you want to work on? I'm like, Wood Elves. And I would paint more Wood Elves. And then they'd be like, what else do you want to work on? Wood Elves. And because I designed that entire thing,
there
the whole
were many
fall theme.
Fall wood elves.
Yeah, the whole fall theme with there was so many treemen and dryads. I painted like 16 boxes of dryads.
There was a lot of dryads.
Ridiculous. But
I used to give the little kids the dryads for the mega battles.
Take these, they're trees.
There you go.
But yeah, that model in and of itself, I'm like poop. Oh shit. So the one question I was having when I was looking through it, I'm like, well, what about for future releases? Are they going to be like, let's say they do a, what army haven't they done yet? Let's say they do the elves coming mm-hmm. up. Are they going to put the point costs, like the general companion point costs, you think inside their battle tome?
All the points are already in there. They've future-proofed it. There's actually points costs in the General's Compendium for models that don't exist.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I'm saying, like, you
if
know...
If it's something brand new,
yeah.
I assume it would be in the Battle Tome and come on the app.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. I'm hoping so, at least.
Yeah.
So that not every year they have to release General's Compendium 2, even though I'd probably still buy it because
absolutely.
I'm a sucker for
I would,
that.
If they keep the same price point and design, I would buy it again.
Yeah.
If they did this every year, I would buy it every year. $25, pff, done.
Yeah.
It's a great book. It's got good campaign rules. It's got Path to Glory. Like it's awesome.
Campaign rules.
I really like it.
Anyway, for those who are wondering, welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host Joe, and with me as always is the I don't know. I'm too drunk to come up with a metaphor.
The quick
Steve.
Shade ink tone to your war paint.
Yes, Steve. Holy shit! Am I hungover?
Yeah.
What
did you do? Yeah. Where were you out yesterday?
No, we were at my house, and my wife and daughter are away for the weekend. Hanging out with her family, so I was like, have a couple friends over, and we'll just, sit around, have a couple beers.
And you set a bender?
Holy shit. It lasted from noon until 11 o'clock last night, and it was just steady. I never got too drunk, because I never, felt, never sick. I slept great. Woke up this morning, I felt like...
Well, you were drunk all day.
I felt like I had an anvil on my head.
Yeah, you weren't hammered, but you were drunk all day.
Yeah. And, of course, my friend brings out the hookah pipe, and so we're smoking on the hookah pipe, and it's like, this is great. Most people get drunk, and they talk about, like, just stupid shit. We're writing a movie. we have, like, a whole script written out for this damn movie. And it was fun. We were great, but it was like, holy Christ, am I regretting it this morning. I almost didn't make it here. I was like, I need McDonald's, and I need a Diet Coke. it almost ruined my plan for today because we actually did ruin my plan a little bit because we started talking about Age of Sigmar first off. But what I wanted to do was start off this podcast like we start off every podcast talking Trek.
I have all of the Star Trek films ranked from worst to best.
Okay, worst to best. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't. I was listening best to worst. And I was like, you know, I'm going to do worst to best.
Okay, that works for me. So no, wait, hold on. So the reason why we want to do this is A, because James hates Star Trek, and we just want to, you know, mess him up for another podcast. Two, new Star Trek RPG coming out. Yep. Who's doing that one?
It's the same guys who make the Mutant Chronicles RPG and another one. It's the 2D20 system. It's a very good system. I'm very excited about the fucking RPG.
Yeah, so there's two books coming out that they're putting out. It looks like a player's guide in a GM book.
Yeah, that's the start. And then they're doing a full range of minis.
32 mil. Not very happy about that.
Hey, it's role-playing mini size, you know.
Because I will
fight you on this because the most popular miniatures range for the longest time relating to D&D RPGs, the longest time, not even close, has been the Reaper Dark Heaven.
Yeah.
Dark Heaven is 32 millimeter.
Yeah.
And that is a consistent scale for RPGing because, you know, having a little bit bigger models works with RPGs because there just aren't ever that many on the table.
Wait, is Dark Heaven the one with, like, the anthropomorphic animals?
It's got everything. Dark Heaven has the integral bases.
Mm.
So the ones that have, the cobblestone bases on the dwarf, that's Dark Heaven. And they're all bigger. They're that 32 mil scale.
Can I get a succubus with her boobs out?
Absolutely.
Yes. I believe that every model Dark Heaven has ever made is a succubus with her boobs out.
I'm fairly certain you can get different poses. So I want to put a caveat to this list.
Okay. We both saw Star Trek Beyond.
Yes, I saw it in IMAX 3D.
Did you? Was it good?
Oh, yeah.
I just saw it 2D with my daughter. She fell asleep in the last 10 minutes.
I've been on an IMAX kick, and I've kind of been like, I haven't been really excited enough about movies, so I've decided that if I'm going to go see a movie, it needs to meet the criteria of being an IMAX.
Oh, okay.
So that's what the last movie, with the sole exception of The Killing Joke, which obviously that wasn't available.
Yeah.
And wouldn't have mattered because it's a cartoon.
We did a hour 15 minute podcast on The Killing Joke. We were gonna do like a 30 minute like supplemental for Comic Book Logic, mm-hmm. but we ended up talking about it for an hour 15.
Nice.
I was like, god damn it. it's not the best thing in the world. It's not a glowing review by any stretch of the imagination, but
I thought it was fine. Like, my Killing Joke review is fine. Like, I mean,
it's
I think The Killing Joke is old. Like, the story is old. So, like, I think people who are getting butthurt about it now just kind of forgot about The Killing Joke.
Well, no, I think most people are getting butthurt now fail to realize that The Killing Joke is a 48-page prestige format comic that was written in 1988. So it's
super short.
Super short, super out of date.
Yes. So and people are like, oh, yeah, that's right. You know,
people were really shitty in the 1980s.
Fuzzy memories.
Yeah.
All right. So my caveat to this list is I like all the Star Trek movies, all of them.
I do not.
Top to bottom.
Yeah.
But like is maybe too strong of a word because would I watch them over and over? No. But I think they all, for the most part, have something worthwhile about them.
Okay. So what's your last one?
The worst Star Trek film of all time for me is The Final Frontier.
Oh, really? Five?
God? Cybok?
Dude, God is awesome in that movie. But, because you know why? Because it has the line, why does God need a starship? And he's like, silence, fools. And then McCoy comes up and he's like, you didn't answer his question. Why does God need a starship? And then he like shoots the eye lasers at him. And then Kirk shoots photon torpedoes at God.
But
he shoots God in the face.
That is so stupid.
Fucking love it. It's a five appears higher on my list.
I think that is the dumbest movie. It's just so ridiculous.
Well, I'll tell you my worst one. Let's just do your list. And
I'm sure I can guess your worst one.
What do you think it is?
Nemesis.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Nemesis is close to the worst.
All right. I'm surprised. I figured you would be a slam dunk for Nemesis. The next worst film.
Yeah.
Voyage Home. Fucking
four?
Whales.
Oh my god, that's number three on my list.
Yeah, I do not like Voyage Home. I think Voyage Home is just, it's so absurd. And the reason that these two are on my, I just said I don't like them, but I do like them. The reason these two are on this position list is that they're the most absurd. They're absolutely ridiculous. Like the, you know, Cybok God, whales from Voyage Home. I even made a work flowy list for this.
What about the nuclear vessels?
It's so silly.
The nuclear
it's
vessels.
So goddamn silly.
Like, aren't they across the bay in the Alameda?
It's ridiculous. Next one, Generations.
Generations is pretty bad.
Generations is terrible. And the reason I think Generations is bad and what's bad about it is like it's clearly could have been great.
Oh, yes.
It so clearly could have been great, but it, like every time they should have stepped right, they stepped left. And it's just, and it's so sleepy. It's like, tell me the story, guy.
How many times do we need to see Kirk and Jean-Luc Picard riding around on horses?
Yeah, Malcolm McDowell.
Underused Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah.
Terrible plot points. Awful. They give the command of the Enterprise B to Cameron from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I can keep going. I don't know why that movie's bad, but
let my starship go.
They make Enterprise B an Excelsior class.
But there's some stuff about the movie that's all right. Like the concept of that like dimensional rift thing, conceptually pretty cool.
Yeah.
In
practice, it's pretty shitty.
Right. And Malcolm McDowell, like, wanting to destroy a bunch of planets to summon it, it's like, oh, that's legit, because it's basically paradise, and he wants to get back to paradise. That's actually very legit villainous motivation.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, cool.
I mean, Phil Collins did a whole song about it.
Next thing, Nemesis is the next worst on my list. I'm not as harsh on Nemesis as other people are.
I'm pretty harsh on it.
I know Nemesis definitely has issues, like many. Tom Hardy being chief among them. He's very bad in that movie, which is surprising because Tom Hardy's generally good in everything I've seen him in.
As Shinzon.
Yes, the weird hybrid clone of Picard and a Romulan.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre.
Not to mention, hey, Data has another brother.
The problem with this movie is... This movie actually has a similar issue. I have a similar issue with this movie as I do with Into Darkness, and that is they basically tried to remake Wrath of Khan.
Yeah,
but they didn't use any characters of any importance to do so.
Yeah,
because Khan would have worked. Like, you want to make Nemesis work? Here you go, Nemesis. You replace the Nemesis villain with Lore.
You think lore?
I mean, because they wouldn't do Q, because Q's too powerful.
No.
And he could just be like, bah! But you replace the villain, you replace Shinzon with Lore, and you make it a Lore versus Data story.
I could see that. That could actually work fairly well. You know who I was actually thinking would be good? Tasha Yar's daughter.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
The half Romulan.
Because she's Romulan already. Does she die in the actual series?
I do not believe so. I think she escapes.
Yeah.
And
that's
like,
what I was
going to say. I think she actually spares someone because of like sentimentality. And then like she's like, we're never going to see. She's like, if we see each other again, I'll kill you. And like leaves.
That she would be great.
Yeah,
as, like,
that would be good too.
Taking over the Romulan Empire type deal.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I think Nemesis was, again, like most Star Trek movies, a missed opportunity. They could have done a great villain arc with Lore. Although I think Lore was dismantled in the series. I think he was disabled at the end of the series. So you'd have to, I mean, you could, that doesn't mean you can't use him.
Yeah.
Have someone put him back together. Have, you know, like a weird ass, like, Noonien Soon clone or something.
Oh, God. That would have been, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, oh, fuck, that would be pretty badass with Lore.
Yeah.
Where he's, you know, and he could actually even say, like, mine is the superior intellect. You know, and it's just like, oh,
yeah.
It's just like, ah.
Yeah. You could definitely redo that with Lore, and you can have subtle nods to Khan, but. It would work. So
yeah.
I think that, again, it's a missed opportunity. And it's just the Paramount execs are out of touch. And a lot of the problems with all the Star Trek movies, top to bottom,
definitely
because, well, I think it's not even just Berman, but it's like the studio, for some reason, they have it in their head that like, you need to be able to sit down and watch a Star Trek movie, period. And like not, it needs to be, you know, a closed story top to bottom, which is, that's, you know, they underestimate the audience. You know, they're like,
they do.
There's going to be some people going to see a Star Trek movie who haven't seen all of Star Trek.
Yeah.
That's a fact. But there's nothing, like, why is Q not in a single Next Generation movie? Like, the greatest antagonist.
Steve, it's because all the Next Generation movies are shit.
I will fight you on one of them.
Well,
for sure.
First Contact is okay, so if you divide the list in half where you have, like, you know, 1 through 13... First Contact is on the low end of the top half.
Yeah.
All of the other ones on the bottom of the bottom half.
So then I have... where was I here? Oh, yeah. So, you know, they didn't use Q. You know, there's a bunch... There's one thing, and it's because the studio execs are like, they wanted to play it safe, and by playing it safe, they made their movies worse.
Oh, yeah.
From top to bottom.
All right. So what do you have after...
After Nemesis, I have... The motion picture.
Okay.
Because
it's boring as shit.
It's very boring. There's not a lot going on. Whereas a lot of the Next Generation movies fall into being like more like dumb action movies rather than having story. This one is too much talky, not enough shooty.
It's just long and wanky, and you should be on drugs when you watch it.
Yeah.
And it's very, very like... vulvic, like everything looks like a vagina in that movie.
Did Giger direct it?
That's kind of what it kind of a little bit.
Then my next is Search for Spock.
Okay.
I don't think Search for Spock is a particularly bad film. I actually think Search for Spock is pretty good, not honestly. But it undoes, in my opinion, the most poignant and best death in possible fiction. Like, close to, like, it's up there. Like, it's up there with Boromir, like, as a, like, character death. Like, it's huge. Spock dying the way he does is, like, ridiculous. So undoing it with a get-out-of-jail-free card, disingenuous, kind of annoys me. That's kind of why I stopped fucking watching Dragon Ball Z. Same difference, because they would just be like, oh, someone died. No, we'll just wish him back with the Dragon Balls. And it's like, oh, that's right. Doesn't matter. You know, if you make death not count for anything, then it doesn't fucking matter. Insurrection is next on my list, and my response and defense of Insurrection is, well, I like it. I don't know.
Insurrection is the single worst movie ever made.
Insurrection's gonna be your worst?
Yeah, no, I'm not talking of just the Star Trek. I'm just talking of all time.
Really?
I like Insurrection. It should have been a TV episode.
I think that's why I like Insurrection, because I just finished watching Next Generation, the TV series, and then watched Insurrection, like, right afterwards.
Everyone's,
it fits right in.
Everyone's out of shape. Nothing makes sense. Picard is running around punching people worse than Nemesis, where Nemesis, he becomes Punchy Picard. Captain Jean-Luc McPunch. He's just punching everyone.
Jean-Luc
McPunch.
I like Sally Ari as the villain.
Yes.
Yeah!
Oh, my God. Yeah. It is awesome. So awful.
Yeah, that's good stuff. That's like I said, my I wrote down my little synopsis of it, because I have a little, like, note for each of these, and mine is, I like it, shrug. It's just kind of like, oh.
Yeah.
Next one is Into Darkness. Cheap rehash of Wrath of Khan, but the action and direction is really good. It's an entertaining film, and I feel that my experience with it is tainted because I've seen Wrath of Khan so many times. Yes. And that's the thing, too. I would have liked to have watched all these movies, but, like, a week is not enough time to watch all 13 Star Trek movies.
For you.
Well, it's guy. I got other things to do. So, next, Undiscovered Country. I think this is the best of the original series movies. Minus Khan, obviously. It's very rough and tumble. It's a fantastic send off to the crew. Like, it's a, I like it a lot. I like it as, like, that. Like, it's a very good end cap.
It is. It's fantastic. It's a great political thriller. I think all of the characters are on point. Scotty's a little.
Scotty, it's me, and Jimmy Doolittle. It's me, Jimmy Doolittle.
No, Scotty's a little. Scotty and Uhura are a little. You know, Scotty, Uhura, and Chekhov are all a little, like, supporting in this movie, and they kind of they do say some stuff which is a little out of character, and mm-hmm. I don't like, but it's a solid movie.
Next is Star Trek. This is
the 2009.
Yes, great action. Completely reinvigorated the franchise. Has people who are not interested in Star Trek now watching Star Trek on Netflix. Like, it got people into it. So, like, as an ambassador to the series,
yeah.
I think the Star Trek 2009 film is fantastic. I think there's going to be some people who are turned off when they watch the TV show and realize it's not all, you know, punchy, punchy, shooty, shooty. But still, very entertaining film. You know, reinvigoration as a gun. Now, my next is a tie. I couldn't decide. And the tie is Wrath of Khan and First Contact. Wrath of Khan is the original series at its absolute best.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is on point. The villain is great. Every character is great. There's that amazing scene with Spock at the end. Fantastic movie, top to bottom. And First Contact, I mean, I love First Contact. I love the action. I love the new characters. I like the concept of the Borg Queen. I think expanding the universe more is really cool. And very importantly, it does the one thing that none of the other fucking generation or Next Generation movies do. It uses something from the goddamn series, just like Wrath of Khan uses something from the fucking series. So I think it's
there were whales in the original series.
You know, I think it's unarguable that the best films, and I think it's kind of consensus for most people that, like, the better films, or if not the best films in all of the Star Trek movies, are the ones that use stuff from the series, because they have that. They don't exist in a vacuum. And I think that the studio's drive to make the movies exist in a vacuum was the dumbest thing ever, because the best movies are the ones that don't exist in a vacuum, that are in the universe.
Yeah. I mean, mine's actually a little different than yours, because, of course, you know, going bottom to top, Insurrection, awful. Generations, terrible. Nemesis, a bleak turd of a film.
bleak turd. That's
it's,
awesome.
it's bad. I mean,
but it's got the dune buggy scene.
It does. It has a fucking dune buggy scene. And Data say, you know, singing Gilbert and Sullivan. Like, what is going on? This is nonsense. Nonsense. Oh, and then you have the whole stupid thing where it's like they have to come up with like reasons why like all these people are back on the Enterprise. Like, oh, we're going to a wedding on Beta Zed. It's like, oh no, Shazad! Oh god.
Umzadi.
And that's I love Next Generation. I just happen to hate a good three quarters of this.
That's fair.
Next
I mean, like you said, the movies are a lot of cases you have to judge them on their own merit, and mm-hmm. I don't think they have a lot. That's that, you know.
Then it goes Into Darkness, which I think is a rehash of
Absolutely.
Search for Spock, but I don't think it's done well at all. But the movie's very technically well done.
Yeah, that fucking fight in warp when the two ships are at warp and they're fucking battling was fucking awesome.
Then of course it's motion picture, which I've already explained is very Volvic.
And it's Norfest.
Yeah, it's Norfest.
somehow a movie riddled with vaginal imagery is boring.
I mean, there are parts that and that's the thing is like in most of these movies, with the exception of Insurrection and like Generations, I find something that I like. Mm. So like three, like Search for Spock, it's another boring movie, and I think it kind of it's filmed terribly. I think that's the problem too. It's just kind of like, ugh, this looks bad. It's everything's red for some odd reason. Everything looks everyone's sweaty in it. Then it goes Beyond. I put Beyond on my list, which I liked.
I really like Beyond.
As I say, like if you split the thing in half, Beyond's on the low end of the top half.
Yeah.
Then it goes.
I think that's probably a better way to do it is to split the lists into like the like not so good and then the good.
Yeah. And then you got five. You got Final Frontier, which as I explained, I love because they shoot God in the face, and it's got Kirk saying like, "I need my pain," which I say to my wife quite often. Then the Star Trek 09, I think it would invigorate the franchise, and it does some stuff right. I mean, there's certain things that I absolutely hate about that movie, but overall, pretty good. I think Into Darkness brought it down, but Beyond actually elevated the first movie a little bit more like the level it should be
at. The Redux universe is doing the opposite of the original series movies, where the even ones are going to be bad. See? So the next one's probably not gonna be good.
Next one's supposed to have time travel.
And then number five, yeah.
Well, then of course I put First Contact's in fourth. I like the movie even though
assimilate this.
There's a lot of stuff in that movie. It has Barkley in it, which is
awful. I love Barkley.
I know you do. And there's for every great thing First Contact does, there's something bad.
You know why? I actually was thinking when you were shitting on Barkley, I was actually thinking about it. You know why I really like Barkley? Because he's one of the few characters who has very, very many flaws. Because most of the characters in Star Trek are kind of idealized.
Yeah.
You know, like Picard. Like and that's another reason I like First Contact, because like it shows how fucked up Picard got after the Borg.
I liked as well, and I think that I think they should have explored that a little bit more instead of having him just shoot them with a Tommy gun.
Sure, yeah. I like that, and I think a lot of the characters in Star Trek are very idealized. You know, like Worf is like the perfect warrior; like he's all about honor. Riker is like the charismatic like beardo ladies man. Like you know, they all have their like kind of perfect thing.
Let's be fair; he's the charismatic beardo chair straddling man.
He does straddle the fuck out of some chairs.
Yes, he does.
And I think Barkley is like a fucking oddball, and he's just like this goofy goon. And
that's why I want to see an idealized crew. I don't want to see these. I don't want to see someone who's like me on the show.
I like that he reminds us that even the shitters still exist.
The shitters still exist. So then it goes 4, 6, and 2. Of course, Wrath of Khan is number one on my list as well because it's a fantastic movie, and you can't. It's everything about it is pitch perfect.
Yes.
Everything. The score, the effects. The only thing it could have been better is
if Ricardo Montalban's shirt was just a little more bit unbuttoned.
Yeah. Not just, and he had assless chaps.
All right, very good.
Yeah.
You know, I heard, I think all chaps are assless.
Yeah, I know. I just like saying assless chaps.
Right.
It's, you know, it's one of those things. It's like you say pin number.
You know, when I think of assless chaps, though, I think that's like a – I think that might be a specific thing where it where it's chaps that actually cover your legs, where the only thing that's coming out prominently is the ass.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you're supposed to wear them over your jeans so that when you're riding a horse, your legs don't get chapped.
Right.
So, but the whole thing idea of assless chaps is that you don't wear pants underneath them. You just wear the chaps.
Yeah. Get that butt burn.
Yeah. So you're like Lord Humongous.
Humongous.
Is it Humongous who wears the...
Humongous.
Who wears the chaps?
He has like a fucking jock strap on.
Well, who's the guy who's... is it the Mohawk guy? Is he the one with his ass hanging out?
I believe he's the one with the assless. I mean, Humongous' ass is also hanging out, but he just has, like, the codpiece.
Yeah, that's...
He's got, like, the neck brace, the hockey mask, and the codpiece, and he's just
walk away. We don't want your lies. We just want the fuel. Just walk away.
And he's got that giant fucking magnum.
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course. But, yeah, that's so that this is for James. This was our favorite Star Trek movies.
Next Talking Trek.
Talking Trek. Next episode, we'll be ranking all 238 episodes of The Next Generation. Best to worst, Steve. Best to worst.
Fantastic.
Or worst to best. Whatever one you want.
I can't even do that. They all blend together.
What's the one where where Worf goes to the Old West in the holodeck? That's the worst.
That's awesome. Him and Alexander go on a Wild West adventure.
Oh my god.
I love that.
It's like the worst.
The holodeck episodes are so like that, but that's all the holodeck episodes are like that. I love, but you know what? I fucking love Picard as the fucking noir detective.
Oh, as Dixon Hill.
Yeah. Yes, well, Dixon Hill. How many smackers for this magazine, my man? I'm trying to, like, adopt the lingo. Yeah, it's
good
stuff.
Like, I'm just going to bring Beverly. And, oh, wait, something gets fucked up on the holodeck. The holodeck. Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Oh, this is terrible.
Something going wrong on the holodeck.
Not unusual.
Data. He's from Singapore. Can't you tell? Look at his tan.
Oh, it's the holodeck episodes are all...
See, I like the holodeck episodes.
I mean, I think I like the Sherlock Holmes one the best.
The Sherlock Holmes ones are awesome, where he makes the Super Moriarty, or where the computer makes the Super Moriarty.
Yeah, and it's the butler from The Nanny.
Yeah, yeah. It's cool.
It's, I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things where there's, like, no consistency in, like...
We talked about it before. Star Trek doesn't have consistency. It just can't. It's too...
Yeah.
It's too syndicated. It's too Monster of the Week. There's too much. And, like, the arcs that have consistency are great. But the overall series has so much going on. It has an established multiverse. It has established time travel. The Mirror universe is like super consistent. It's just you can't really. Are we doing the box opening?
Yeah. Well, you can still keep talking.
Okay.
I'm just setting up.
I'm listening.
So
like it's not a super consistent universe, but I mean, I think that's okay. And I think people's obsession with canon is one of the things that's currently like ruining fandom lately.
Oh, it is.
And it's like slow the fuck down. Everyone I talked about it a little bit in the last cast where it's become a religion. Like everyone, like the canon is sacrosanct. Like you can't change that. And it's like, actually you can. If it's entertaining, you could change the fuck out of it. You know, if you want to have a mirror universe, like Picard is the only character I can think of that never had a mirror universe.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, a super despotic, tyrannical Picard would be cool to see.
Yeah. I mean, like, and I always thought that was like a...
An oversight
that they never did. Well, they also never did Mirror Universe Voyager either. So, oh, by the way, did you like in Beyond?
I thought they did.
No, they did the weird holodeck episodes, which were awful. Mm. But Voyager in itself was awful.
Captain Proton. I love Captain Proton.
Of course you do.
Yeah. No, I used to watch those serials all the time. They did a pretty good job.
The Beyond. Did you like when they threw in all the Enterprise references?
Yes, the Zindi Wars. I was like, as soon as he said, like, I fought the Zindi Wars, I was like, oh, my erection like exploded.
I was like, Steve will love this. I was thinking to myself in the theater. I'm like, oh, Steve's gonna love that they mentioned the Zindi Wars.
I did. I was like, yes.
I actually like. I think they folded it in pretty well.
They did.
Aside from all of the chronological errors that they did and the NX naming system problems, but I'm okay with it. USS Franklin, first ship that hit warp 4.
Also, have you heard if I heard something I wanted to confirm, maybe you know, Discovery, is it the most recent chronologically,
the Discovery,
the new one, Star Trek Discovery? Do you know?
They haven't like really said anything yet. Okay. I think that they're saying it's post next generation.
Okay, cool.
So
that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, I am too. I like them to push it a little bit further.
Yeah.
That's what I said. I'd either like, if I was going to do a series, I would like it either post next generation, or post original series pre next generation.
Still a little Wild West action.
Yeah. I mean, like either one, I think would work really well.
Because I mean, what it's like a 100 years between TOS and next gen.
A little bit. I mean, McCoy's still alive, so.
But he's super.
But he's super old. Yeah,
yeah. People lived to like 140.
He was like 130 at the end. Yeah. At the episode.
So people live a super long time because of medical science. Is like, yeah. You know, and there's that one episode where that old dude ages in reverse. He's taking that weird ass medicine that's fucking with his heart.
He's like, yeah, and then he gets like really. I hate that episode. It's so terrible. And so like, I really hate bad like old age makeup. So that's one of the reasons why it's like.
Listen to me.
He's in the wheelchair.
The floaty wheelchair. Yeah. That's good stuff.
All right. So for those who are watching on the Facebook page, I got it set up. And now I actually have somewhat of a mount for my phone, so it does it's not all super shaky. I felt really bad after the last one. I'm like, wow, this is shaky. I'd get fucking sick looking at that. One of our listeners, let me get it.
Oh yeah. Other IMAX film I saw was Ghostbusters.
Bum, bum, ba, bum, bum, bum.
Very cool in IMAX. The 3D was great.
Yeah, that's what I kind of wish I saw it in 3D now, but
the 3D is like they actually, one of my biggest issues, I complain about it, I'm sure I've complained about it at one point in our cast, is the 3D movies don't do the gags. That movie did the fucking gags. They did 3D shit, and I was like, all right, awesome.
So Daniel Sullivan, listener, emailed me, and he was like, hey, I found something at a used bookstore. I know Steve talks about it, and Steve has said that he wanted to get a hold of this for a while. So I bought it for him. I want to send it to him. What's his address? And I'm like, no, send it to me. In that way, we can open it up on the cast. Because if it gets sent to Steve, he's going to open it right away.
It's true. I get so many packages, I'll just be like, what the hell is this?
The biggest problem was that over the last few days, we've had torrential rainstorms.
Yes.
And so I got home after being out and I saw a package was on my front porch soaked with rain. So as I picked it up, the box ripped a little bit.
Fantastic.
But I checked, everything's solid inside. There was no, he wrapped this thing good.
All right.
I was a little worried because I was like, oh shit. So I'm giving this to Steve to open
up. Damn
you,
Poseidon.
Yeah. And you are also allowed to comment on the videos. We would like that. So this is for Steve. You could go ahead and, you know, open it too
Ooh.
Much. Oh, great Poseidon! That's all that's in there.
Very good. The bubble wrap is opening.
Steve's ham hands.
No shit.
Told you, he read that thing good.
That's fucking sweet. Ghostbusters International. Holy shit. Thank you, Mr. Sullivan.
He even put the bubble wrap on the inside.
Dude,
it's got the ghost
dice. It's got the fucking ghost die. Wow. That is fucking awesome. How do I win in Ghostbusters International? You don't compete with the other players, but with the goblins and spooks controlled by the Ghostmaster. Ghostbusters work together. At least they try. Holy shit. That is fucking sweet. Wow. Oh, full color poster. Wow, take a look at this great poster and the special Now Comics subscription offer on the reverse side. Remember Now Comics?
They were terrible.
Now Comics was a local comic place. I used to read Blart, Ralph Snart. Ralph Snart.
Ralph, yeah.
Ralph Snart, something I read as a very young lad. That's pretty cool.
You got Egon is Dixon Hill.
Dixon Hill, Egon Spangler. That's pretty hype.
With Janine.
Janine obviously being Beverly Crusher.
Yes.
And Slimer, Data.
He's Singapore.
No shit.
That's a big fucking rule book.
This is fucking cool. Well, I mean, this is the old school. This is, you know, everything's in here.
Yeah.
It's got the heroes. It's got character creation. It's got villain. Wow, and it's in great condition. Wow. Thank you. Like, this is expensive. Thank you.
Yeah, I saw
that. It's even got the little the copy print and fold Ghostbusters minis.
Yeah, whoever
can see that.
Whoever sold this had this in mint condition.
Yeah, this thing is fucking great. It's basically like the shrink wrap just came off of it. I don't think anyone's ever opened the book before. Yeah, the binding is fucking flawless. Wow. This is amazing. Thank you. Really. I appreciate this. Wow.
Angel Baker says awesome.
It's fucking sick. Read this first. Hey, look. We got the Ghostbusters International release from Damages. Oh, man. That is fucking sick. High Official Notary Republic, 1989. Wow.
From Ghostbusters 2.
Oh, hey. And we got...
Heck sheet.
Well, this is actually the second edition.
Oh, the second edition?
Yes, International is the second edition. The other one is I think it's just called Ghostbusters, the Frightfully Fun Role Playing Game.
Oh, okay.
International is the second edition.
Let me see the ghost die.
Yeah, sure.
Let me see. I don't think I've ever actually. So it's just a D6 with like a ghost symbol on the.
It's got the Buster symbol on it.
Yeah.
It comes with all.
They're gonna shoot it in the nards.
And the dice. I don't think this dice has ever been rolled. Look at that. It's perfect. Wow. I'm going to seal this. I'm going to put it on my shelf, and it's going to remain in mint condition for all time.
I'm actually kind of excited that you're not like, I'm going to sell this.
Fuck no. This is mine.
Yeah, I honestly think that, actually, you know what would be really...
If you send me Blood Bowl figures, I'm going to sell them. You send me Ghostbusters, it's going to stay on my shelf forever.
I think it's actually pretty interesting that... Well, it's not interesting, but you could easily get the Ghostbusters game, the Descent game, Ghostbusters Descent.
Yeah, from Crypto.
And you could just use those minis.
Absolutely.
For that RPG.
Absolutely. It's even got an Ecto-1 and shit. And you could use it as... You can use them tiles as the playing field.
Yeah, as the playmat, yeah.
Or just use them on the hex board. Like, this one uses a hex figure.
Yeah,
looks
but
like.
The funny thing is that... And that's part of the reason why I don't like the Ghostbusters Descent idea. Like, I like all the figures. I like the concept. But I always kind of think of Ghostbusters as kind of like a more fun Call of Cthulhu, where it's, you don't...
You go someplace where something's happening.
Yeah.
There's one thing, like the horde, like, that video, you know what that game would work? That game would work in like to cap the RPG off. Like, the final session, you and the Busters have to stop a torrent of ghosts.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. It's like, normally, it's like... You have someone who comes to the Ghostbuster house, and they say, we have a problem.
Yeah.
And the Ghostbusters are like, okay, let's go take care of this. It's like catching a raccoon in your attic. Like, they're going to go there, they're going to scope it out, see if they could find it, set some traps, yeah. And see if they can catch it. Like,
right.
That's the whole point.
They're
going
to bust that raccoon.
They're going to bust that raccoon. And it's like, the Ghostbusters Descent is like just wave after wave of ghostly goons,
sure.
So it doesn't work quite as well.
Yeah, it's not the...
Angel Baker says, what if I send you... Dreadball figures.
I mean, I'd say I'd sell them, but no one would buy them.
Yeah, dude. Let's stop pretending Dreadball is a thing.
It was a thing for a short while. It was a little thing.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of went...
No, I'm just saying, let's just stop pretending that it's a thing. It's we're done with Dreadball. Dreadball's done.
It's done.
I've announced it. Angel says hashtag savage. All right, so I'm going to end the little video feed right now.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, so gaming stuff. Last thing going on, Gen Con coming up this weekend. You're going to give me some cash so I can pick up your exclusives.
Well, it's just the one thing. I don't know how much it is, so you just tell me what it is, and I'll PayPal you on the spot or
okay.
Quick pay you.
Yeah, I'm going up on Friday. I'm going to try and leave like super duper early. Actually, some listeners of the cast offered me a room, which is awesome. I don't know if I'm going to take him up on it, but because I was kind of excited to sleep in my car, but...
you really hobo it up at Gen Con?
Oh, yeah, just going to totally hobo it up. Like, just show up in, like, a bathrobe.
Clean yourself with wet naps.
Oh,
no. The underarm wet nap.
That's what I'm saying. Give it a horse bath.
Yeah.
And just, I kind of want to just walk around Gen Con with my bathrobe on, like, a pair of, like, boxer shorts, like, an undershirt.
If anyone asks, just say you're cosplaying the dude.
Yeah. Well, I'd be wearing my Doctor Who robe, but yeah. And my mug of coffee, just walking around going like, "Fucking gamers, god damn it!" No, I would. Of course, I would not do that. But yeah, I'm probably gonna do Friday, and then I'll go Saturday morning pretty early and get some last minute things. Maybe
make sure you bring all of your food because you're morally obligated not to support any business in Indiana.
Oh yeah, absolutely, 100%. I'm yeah. Well, the food trucks. I like the food trucks.
Yeah.
I can't
only
help
if
it.
They have a very clever name.
Only
that's
if
the rule.
Oh, I just want to go to the pierogi truck. That place is great.
Like if that was like Poppin' Pierogies or something.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. You need to work on that a little bit more.
It needs to be more of a pun, like a truck pun. But I'm trying to think of words that would be punny with a truck, but P is not.
I was going to say like pierogi, but the that just sounds like bulgogi.
Yeah, and which is not pierogies at all.
It's like a some weird meat dish.
Yeah,
is it the Mongolian or something?
Pistons and pierogies. Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, that'd be really hard.
You could think of something.
The alliteration is difficult.
Yeah. I love food trucks. I go to the city of Chicago's gotten some really good food trucks lately. But one of my favorites is the Happy Lobster. They make the best lobster roll I've ever had in my life, and it is fucking phenomenal. And it's expensive as shit. But if you do it like once a year, it's well worth it. All right. Yeah. But that's what that's the thing I look forward to probably the most, and the thing I missed the most at Gen Con last year was
the food trucks.
The food trucks, because it's like I've rarely ever seen food trucks, like that many food trucks show up. And it's not that the Indianapolis Convention Center has bad food. It actually is decent food for a convention center.
Pretty expensive, though.
Yeah, exactly. It's
if you're going to pay that, you might as well pay the same amount to the food truck and get more.
Or and get better quality, at least.
Also.
I mean,
is that too?
Yeah. Yeah, and there's just a lot of exclusives this year with Gen Con. I think they kind of stepped up their game this year. Everything looks better than it has in the past. GW will not be showing up. I think Forge World's going, though.
Yeah, Forge World will be there. They were there before.
Yeah, they go there quite.
They get a tiny little booth, and they sell all their resin, and they leave.
Yeah. Gotta remember, did you ever have to work Gen Con for GW?
No.
No?
No, I always manned the store for any of those conventions.
Oh.
I was always by myself. I remember the games days would be the best because I would just be like sitting there. I'd open up the store, sit down behind the counter, and just the day would pass by and no one would come in. Just like, all by myself.
I like that you got to work on games day.
Yeah, I just worked at the store on games day. That's what I did.
I think I worked one games day in the store, and I think I was at Randhurst.
Yeah.
No one went into Randhurst anyway.
Yeah,
so.
I was always manning the bunker for games days. I was because everyone wanted to do games day, and I was like, I'll do the store.
I fucking hated doing games days.
Yeah, everyone else wanted to do games day, but I was just like, sure, I'll do the store.
Well,
you know why I know why they all want to do. They all want to do it because of the after games day party.
Yeah, that's true.
Which I didn't get to go to because I was at the store.
Yeah, we would do the that's true, the after Games Day party. I remember that.
Yeah.
And then
the dreadnought that Chicago built and went to every Games Day except for Chicago's.
Yeah, because they broke it.
It broke. It was fucking Boston who broke it.
Probably.
Taxachusetts, those sons of bitches.
More like space Taxachusetts. No, they had, I went to so many trade shows in Chicago because Chicago has a ton of like hobby trade shows that they do. And we did Gen Con one year. It was the year before GW stopped going, and that was fucking phenomenal.
Was it still Wisconsin?
No, I think it was Indy.
Okay.
I'm having like weird memory issues. But I know I did one at Gen Con, and I just remember it being a blast. Like, we were so fucking loud. Well, we were always loud at trade shows, and they'd get so mad at us.
You know, I'd like to see Gen Con move back to Wisconsin.
I would too, but there's just no place for it.
There's probably a place for it.
It's because the problem is it's not the convention center. The convention center is big, and I know they're sprawling out again this year, but it's not. I think we mentioned this when we were talking about how Indiana is a shit tier state. It's that it's the hotel problems.
That's
there's
true.
Not enough hotels. Like, you have people staying in its surrounding cities of Indianapolis because there's no hotel rooms.
It's true.
Actually, I should check Airbnb and see if there's like anyone who's like doing like an Airbnb for a day.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not familiar enough with Wisconsin to know if there's been an improvement in any of their areas. But I mean, I've been to several. Like, I went to a huge Magic Grand Prix in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
and it was like it was fucking huge. So I imagine that like. I mean, it's not going to be as much as Gen Con, but, like, it was a fucking massive, massive amount of Magic players. So I have to imagine that there's some accommodations.
Yeah, I mean, there's places that have accommodations. Like, I honestly think the best place for Gen Con in the future would probably end up being Rosemont.
The problem is it's fucking Chicagoland's so goddamn expensive.
Yeah, but the only thing is that
for the organizers as well. Like, yeah. they got to pay those union fees are insane.
Yeah, but you know what? Tons of big conventions do it. And it's not like it all, you know, if they're not making that much money off of it, something's going weird. But the weird thing is that I don't like the Rosemont.
I'm sure it would still be profitable, but they care about their margins, you know.
I know. I get it. Don't get me wrong. I just Rosemont's got the space for the convention center. It's got two gigantic halls, tons of little halls. It's got
lots of hotels,
tons of hotels. I mean, yeah. Tons of hotels. There's a casino. So
it's true.
If you really like your gaming,
it's true.
But yeah, so I'm gonna go up there.
I'd pull for that.
I think I'll just like I'll be a table swiper. I'll go there and just look at shit on the table and just be like, yoink, it's mine now.
Nice.
I'll be that guy. All right, so we got any other gaming news stuff.
There's another Star Wars game coming from Fantasy Flight.
What's this one?
It's a Dyson card game.
Ugh.
It's got Yahtzee? You'll love these proprietary dice. They have pictures of the character and like various like numbers and symbols on them.
Oh God!
Yeah, baby.
Oh, okay. I got a story for you. I'm throwing this down. So I've talked about my friend Chris on the podcast.
The clamp.
I've talked about my friend Chris on the podcast before. He's the guy that's obsessed with Star Wars. He has a Star Wars museum in his house. Of all of his, like, Boba Fett, man.
It's all Boba Fett?
It is all Boba Fett. He's like, that's his thing. He's Boba Fett and Scout Trooper. Because those are the two things that he troops as for the 501st, is Boba Fett and the Scout Trooper. He doesn't do Boba Fett that often because of the politics of the 501st. Steve, if you knew about the 501st, you would think it's the... I don't think you would ever have any other thing to do on the internet because you would take so much enjoyment out of these idiots.
Well, you've already said that there's politics of the 501st. Of there can only be one Boba Fett at a time, I assume.
There can only be one Boba Fett
at a time. And I'm sure every dork there wants to be Boba Fett.
There is, right now, I don't know if I mentioned it on this podcast, but there is a huge issue with the fact that the stormtroopers from Rogue One are not actually in the prescribed stormtrooper outfits that the 501st has laid out for the pre, Force Awakens stormtrooper. You know, so they're not like the official Empire Strikes Back stormtrooper that they had in the past. So there's a big to-do about this.
You know what I would really like someone to do? I would like someone to just dress as Boba Fett and just walk around and taunt the 501st. Like, follow the 501st's Boba Fett around.
Yeah.
Just to fuck with their day.
Oh, God. They get so mad about it. So mad. Like, there's like, and these people, like, they're like, they have to go by, like, commanding officer. He's the commanding officer of the garrison. Steve just put his head down. This is like...
Dude, and people have the gall and audacity to mock Trekkies. Like, if a Trekkie's like, I'm an admiral, like, he doesn't have a bunch of people who are calling him fucking admiral.
Well, they do, generally, but that's the difference.
That's just him and his two friends!
Well, that's true. That's true. I'm not arguing it. Yeah, they do get pretty uptight about that stuff, and you know, and they it becomes like a cult. Like that's the thing.
That's what I've been saying is the fucking problem with fandom.
I know. Well, and these people like that's like it becomes their like group of people they hang out with is their troops, their garrison as they call it.
They're all voting for Trump.
Probably. The closest you're going to get to Palpatine.
That's right. He's even got the sunken eyes and maybe the electricity powers.
His hands are too small for electricity powers.
They're really just sparks.
They're just sparks. No, so he texts me the other day and he's like, I think I told you this one. He wants to play Rebel Assault. And
Assault, yes.
Yes. And so we do it. I have created a fucking monster with this guy now. He's... So he goes, I painted a Boba Fett for him because he, a long time ago, because he saw the figure, and of course he has a Boba Fett museum, so he wanted it, and he was just like, you think you could paint this up for me? I'm like, yeah, it'll take me an hour to paint. So, I did it for him, and so then he actually gets into Rebel Assault, and he's like, do you want, and could you paint the rest of these figures? I'm like, no, you don't, I would charge you for that. And he goes, oh, how much? I'm like, you don't want to know my rates. And I told him, and he's just like, oh, well, could you show me how to paint them? I'm like, I guess. So I have over at my house, and I'm doing something I haven't done in like probably 10 years.
Painting tutorials?
A painting tutorial. And I'm just like, for fuck's sake. And so I was like, you know, what figure do you want to do? And so he pulls out a Stormtrooper. I'm like, motherfucker, you already primed the Stormtrooper black, you asshole.
What? That's awesome.
I was like, God damn it. So I actually reprimed him white.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, you paint a white figure, you prime it white, God damn it. So now I'm getting pictures from him of his painted models that he's working on, his ATST and all of this stuff. I'm just like, oh, I created a monster. And then he texts me, he's like, I'm going to play X-Wing now. I'm like, oh, it's the most popular game out there, so, you know, why not?
Oh, no.
So he goes, literally 2 days later, he goes, how is Fantasy Flight's replacement policy? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, my two pegs broke on my Starfighters. I'm like, they usually have a really good one, but they don't replace broken parts. Yeah, they only replace missing parts.
You can buy pegs and pegs and bases.
I was like, oh, God damn it. He just likes the toys.
Yeah,
well, whatever.
You've created a true beast.
I know. I just don't have the heart to tell him. I'm like, better games out there.
No, because those games do not say Star Wars on them.
It's true, and they're actually not in existence anymore because they're games that existed in like 2004 that I bought all the remaining stock of, so I'm the only person who has them. I'm gonna play some Full Thrust. We'll play Full Thrust.
Finally.
All right. So, anything else? So anyway, if you guys end up going to Gen Con, I'll probably be walking around. I might have my Planet Arbitrary shirt on.
I think there's 2 or 3 days left in it, but there's a Lamentations of the Flame Princess bundle.
Oh, there is. Yeah,
you can get all the books in PDF for like $23. I actually still have to.
I don't even think it is $23. I think it's just like a match and buy.
$23 is the like you get the full tier.
Okay.
The pay what you want tier is like $10, and then if you do 23, it gets you like even more.
Yeah, because I was going to say, usually those work like you pay what
there's
you want.
Pay what you want, and then there's tiers.
Well, it's the tier ends up being like the average of what everyone else is paying. So it's like
the best people really like it because they're paying $23.
Yeah, which is kind of cool.
Well, worth it. I mean, the Lamentations is great if you like that old school RPG stuff. I actually ran into an issue. I didn't even think about it. But like one of the things that's sweet about Lamentations is like the... combat's dangerous.
Yeah.
But one of the things that's rough is combat is dangerous. So, like, you'll just be like, character's dead. It's like, oh, shit. There's that, like, that moment where you're just like, oh, that's right. I forgot. Every fight, you can die. So, like, it's like, ooh, yeah, you're dead. You've been killed by that, like, thief with a dagger because he critted you. It's like, well, yeah, I guess you're dead.
Yikes.
So, it's kind of there's that weird, like, abrupt stop, and it takes a little while to get used to like having to like do hirelings and like wanting to like have additional characters with you.
Yeah.
And that's really what you want to do, because that's a lot of things that people, I think that's the one of the crux of modern dungeon crawl game design, like D&D 5th, is they launched so much power onto the player characters. People are used to having one character who can just do everything.
Yeah.
And they forget that, like, almost all of the epic stories of adventurers, it's not a group of 4 people. It's a group of 7 or 8 or 9. You know, it's a lot of people. You know, there's many people working together to accomplish the goals.
I was just looking at the video. I got a notification of a comment on it. And Timothy Franklin says, I was given a Dreadball demo game by a damn wiener kid. Then his second comment is, he was a damn wiener.
So there, you know, I think people forget like the old school RPG is there's, you know, I want my character. I have a manse. I have some retainers, you know, like when I go into battle, like I bring someone with me. And then, you know, you have a dude with you almost always. You have a squire who helps, you know, carry gear or whatever. And like a wizard would have a wizard's apprentice. You know, multiple people was like a thing in like D&D second ed and stuff. And then in third, they kind of push that to the side and they're just like, make the characters super powerful. So there's less, you know, there's no real tactics to the fighting either. Because that was the thing, you know, they made the game for tactical fighting. That was Gygax, you know, Gygax loved story and he loved the creative aspect, but he also wanted the tactical combat.
Have you heard anything about Garrycon or Gygax?
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
But I've heard nothing else.
I kind of want to go next year.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we should go. We should do a game classy at GaryCon. Where is it?
It's in Lake Geneva.
Okay.
It's at his house.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Right, maybe we should do game classy there. Just like shit. Like, let me see your character. Fuck that character. It sucks.
Just shit on
just shit on Drizzt.
Not Drizzt. Greyhawk. Just shit on Greyhawk the entire time.
Greyhawk's very silly.
It's very silly.
It's very silly. I mean, it's got a, like the thing about D&D that's cool is the endless variety. The thing that's stupid about D&D is the endless variety.
Yeah.
There's no way that all that shit is in like one spot. Like, it's too wild. You know, you got to rein it in, which is I think that's the point of the Monster Manual. And I think they did a lot of the monsters. Looks like in fifth is a lot of the stuff is extra dimensional. So you have a huge cadre of things that are like would not normally like no ecosystem.
Yeah.
So that's good. Having a bunch of really weird shit, like the dungeon monsters, like the rust monster and stuff, that's like, yeah, a wizard literally pulled this from its dimension, stuck it here. There's only one or two in the universe at this time. I think that works.
Yeah.
So be excited. Old school role-playing is, you know, still in its renaissance. People are really loving it. People are loving the Lamentations and, like, the other stuff. Well,
that's the thing is, like, I took my friend to Games Plus to get some Rebel Assault, Imperial Assault minis.
Okay.
And so he sees the Star Wars RPG. And he's like, what game is this? And I go, oh, it's a Star Wars RPG. And he's like, where are the figures for it? I'm like, it's an RPG. You don't need figures for it. It's all done on, you know, just people talking to each other. It's like Dungeons and Dragons. He goes, yeah, but Dungeons and Dragons has minis. I'm like, well, you don't need minis.
Yeah, if you want to use minis for it, you can use the Star Wars minis. Your Imperial Assault.
Yeah. So he just, like, it took him a while. He's like, wow, so all you need is the rule book and that's it. I'm like, yeah,
dice.
it's your pathway to adventure.
That's awesome. Yeah, there's actually a battle going on between the battle that's playing out on all aspects of entertainment and the social world right now is happening between the OSR and the story RPG community.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, because it's happening for everything. Ghostbusters was a focal point of it. Gamergate, all of it. It's just the alt-right versus the Tumblrinas about like everything. Oh. And of course, like the they accuse that the OSR people are the alt-right, like, you know, anti-women, blah blah blah, and the stories are all a bunch of like, you know, fuddy-duddy, like I'm in touch with my feeling, me, and like it's so obnoxious that I can't get away from it.
No,
like no matter what I'm doing or what I'm into, that like that battle, that endless battle between these two extremes just exists in every aspect of everything.
You, yeah,
it's so obnoxious.
It really is. I've really limited like a lot of my internet because of that sort of thing, and it's just like, and the sad thing is because of that, sarcasm is dead.
Yes.
Like, you can't...
Absolutely.
You can't...
Sarcasm is absolutely dead. I tried to be sarcastic about something along those lines, and it just, like, they were... Someone made a post about something being sexist, and I made a post about, like, basically saying that this thing isn't sexist, it's the best thing in the world, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then they, like, went on, like, a pretty decently sized, like, chunk of, like, deriding me, like no, how can you say that? How can you be that way? Blah, blah, blah. And it's just, like... I just doubled down on my position.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Because it was funny,
yeah.
And I was being sarcastic.
Yeah.
Like, things can be sexist, but this is, I talked about this with Pat off the air on Play On, but like, because this is, you know, Gamergate's a huge thing. And like, the thing that pisses me off about all this going on right now, especially with media, cartoons, video games, whatever, is the arguments that the Tumblr side is presenting is that this stuff is going to be a monkey see monkey do thing, you know, that same flaccid argument was shot down when the conservatives were pushing it against video game violence in the 90s. The exact same things they were saying, like if kids play violent video games, they become violent. If kids see this, they become this. Like that's
they listen to rap music, you're going to become a thug.
Right. And has been completely proven 100% false. That is not a thing that happens. So why is all of a sudden it becoming true when it's sexism or boobs or it's not. It's a complete fallacy. Like entertainment does not change your
behavior. I think you said it best where it's like, yeah, something can be sexist and terrible, but it could still have value.
Yeah.
Like, you know, even if it's like this is a shitty thing, we should. But it's not like you shouldn't watch it because it's a shitty thing. You know, watch
the
shitty
discussion.
Watch the shitty thing and make the decision yourself if it's a shitty thing. And whether you agree or disagree with me, that's fine. But, you know, it's right. Like.
But this thing, and for, you know, and for all their like claims of, you know, they're all for free speech and anti-censorship. The alt-right is the exact same way about censorship as the Tumblrs. Like they both want the things that offend their particular set of sensibilities to not exist.
Yeah.
That's just the way they want it. And like, regardless of what they say, what either side tells you, they're lying.
Yeah.
Like they want the alt-right wants a female Ghostbusters to never happen. They want, that should not exist. Women should not be Ghostbusters. That is their stance. And if they tell you otherwise, they're fucking lying. That is what they, that is what, well, they are angry about.
Steve, how are they going to drive the Ecto-1?
Hey, you know what?
See? No, that's the type of comment that I would say as a joke, and then people would get mad at me.
And then I would follow up by saying, there wasn't an Asian one.
Oh, see? And then we get in trouble for that.
Right.
Because...
But it's a joke.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that Hindus are the worst drivers. So, but I'm saying, like, that's their stance. Like, they, well, regardless of what they tell you, that is absolutely why they're mad about this film. They're mad because it's females. They're mad because women are leading in the Ghostbusters movie. That's what they're angry about. There's no, no, they'll tell you a bunch of other things, but that's what they're mad about.
Yeah.
And then you'll have people from the alt-right who are like, or from the Tumblr side who are like, oh, I don't have a good term for them, so I'm just gonna call them the Tumblr side. Who are like, oh, well, we don't want to censor things. And then there'll be the various people going like, do not release this video game, Tecmo. These boobies are outrageous. Like, the very same people who are like, we don't want to take your video games, are like, we want to take your video games. So they're both for censorship, and they're both mean. Both sides are fucking mean. If you read, no, seriously, they are. You read their blogs, they're fucking cruel. Like, they're the same, like, they have, and it's, the difference is, the alt-right will attack you. They'll be like, you're a piece of shit, fuck you, we hate you, and they'll, like, come at you with the most disgusting, vile insults you could have. And what the Tumblr side does is they attack you with shame.
Yeah.
They don't say anything, generally, they don't specifically call you names, but they're like, they try and shame you into changing your opinion. They're like, I can't believe that, you know, I had respect for you. I can't believe you'd be so misogynistic. I can't believe that, you know, you'd stand this way. And this battle, that battle happens on every field now. I can't get away from it, because that's why I kind of pulled back from really being involved with video games, like, online, because the whole Gamergate thing just tainted everything, because now everything, rather than just reviewing a game objectively, it's a fucking battle.
Yeah.
Everything's a fucking battle. It's not a fucking battle. Like, calm the shit down.
Yeah.
You know, if a game you like got censored, they censored it to get a lower rating. It's just like a movie.
Yeah.
If the game was going to be adults only and it comes out as mature, import the adults only version. There's no region locking on a PlayStation 4, so if you want to get an adults only game that's only available in Japan, get the adults only game. If it comes out in the States as mature, that means they censored it. Tough. That's how they wanted to reduce the rating. That happens all the time with film. Film goes, there's X-rated, this movie's going to be X-rated. Hey, you got, like, RoboCop, it was going to be X-rated for violence. Obviously, it's tame by today's standards, but still going to be X-rated for violence, so they toned it down, made it an R. That movie was released censored. That's just the way it is, because the studio wants to create profit, and they need to hit a certain rating, because if your game is adults only, no store carries it. They will not carry it. You can only get it online, which means their sales are going to be nothing. A mature game, Call of Duty's a mature game, they sell millions and millions of copies.
Which is funny, because, like, who buys video games at stores?
Well, online, you know what I mean.
Oh.
Buying from Amazon is still technically buying from a store.
Okay, so they won't sell on Amazon if it's adults only?
Well, the thing, it depends on where you're getting it from. Like, it, because Amazon's like a, you know, is that, like, octopus umbrella? But, like, they still want to put it at GameStop, because, you know, there's still a vast majority of people who go to GameStop, pre-order their games, and buy games. Like, that still happens a lot.
I just can't believe that.
It's true.
Steve, you're just making crap up now. Yeah.
But that battle is, like, everywhere, and it pissed me off to see it come to, like, my, like, pet domain of RPGs, to see them, like, arguing it, like, I can't believe, it's like, are you shitting me? Like, come on. Like, and it's just, I don't know. It's just one of the things that's been bugging me, like, for a while. And just, like, I would wish that, like, they would just leave, like, both sides, just leave entertainment alone. Fight over the real world. Fight over anything else you want. Make everything a battlefield, but leave entertainment out of it.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I don't know if I leave entertainment out of it, because I think that there are good things that come out of the conversation, but
I'm for a conversation. I am not against the conversation. I like to hear, you know,
yeah,
I like to hear people's opinions about things, but, like, I find a lot of, you know, I don't want the people who are the extremes. They're just like, it shouldn't exist because this.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing, is, like, for example, we were just doing our Star Trek thing, and the fact that Steve's insurrection was not the last on his list is morally offensive to me, but I'm okay with it, because we can have a conversation about it.
Yeah, and
even
also,
though I think he's a piece of shit for liking insurrection
and
that much.
And to be fair, my defense of Insurrection was, I like it. Shrug. Like, I got nothing. I mean...
And also that you put...
And Joe doesn't like Ferengi, so like...
I hate Ferengi.
Yeah, so he's on my shit list for that.
All right, guys. Go to PlanetArbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at Game Classy.
No. Play on Steve.
At Play on Steve.
Yes.
You could like the Facebook page, / Game Classy Podcast, all one word. Where Steve will go on other people's pages and post anime pictures.
Just Noob the Loser.
Just Noob the Loser.
I haven't been doing it in a while.
Yes.
I can't keep up. There's one guy who hits every single one of his posts with a nice anime like macro response, and he does it like within minutes of Noob putting a comic up, and I'm like, God damn, dude. Not only is the dedication impressive, the ability is impressive, and the timing is impressive, because I have my Facebook page set up to give me notifications when he posts. So, like, I'll see a notification that he posts, and I'm like, oh, Noob posted, and I'll click, and there's already, like, comments there. I'm like, fuck, you people.
You know, some people
can't fight in that world.
That's just their life, man. Yeah,
I can't.
It's like, I would love to post in Simpson shit posting, but
steam dams.
It's my new obsession. It's changed my life.
Oh, Simpson shit posting is great.
Simpson shit posting. It's like, I don't know how I existed before this.
Oh yeah, it's so good.
It's so much steam dams and put in an H.
Steam dams. Dicks out for Harambe.
Dicks out for Harambe.
Get his dick out for you and everyone you care about.
That's not the Simpson shit posting. That's all over the place.
Well, that one specifically was from. There
was it really?
Yeah, it was the Troy McClure telling yeah. Billy, it's like, don't kid yourself, Billy, Harambe will get his dick out for you and everyone you care about.
Yeah, I thought it was. I've seen it in a lot of places, but then I noticed it a lot on Simpson shit posting. But aside from that,
you know what it is? I figured it out as we were talking. It's the lack of politeness.
It could be.
Everyone's just like, no one's polite, so they're just like, fuck you. Like,
I also don't like putting /" after a post, like. Like, if it's sarcasm, you should probably just know that it's sarcasm.
Yeah.
If it seems, like, somewhat out of character for a person, it's probably sarcasm.
Right.
So maybe your sarcasm detector is just not working.
Yeah, like, my sarcasm detector is, Aziz Ansari, is whenever he would do something, like, socially aware, I would always post on it everywhere. I'd be like, that guy wasn't even funny in Community. Because he's not. He's from Parks and Rec.
Yes.
And, I would wait. And sure enough, like 75 comments on the line, someone would be like, he wasn't even in Community. And I'm just like, sucker.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you gotta, but that's the thing is like, well, whatever. You could
just be polite.
Go to YouTube.
Be a dick.
Yeah. You could watch us on YouTube, and the best way you could help out the podcast is to like, comment, subscribe on iTunes, where you could give us 5 stars and say that we're shit. Some people, like Major Havoc, gives us 1 star twice.
Nice. How can you review it twice?
I don't know. I'm still wondering.
That's
that
impressive.
Myself. I mean, this guy hated us that much that he came back 6 months later and gave a second negative review. Which I'm fine with, but it more bugs me the fact that he like did it twice. Like did he give
a review or did he just 1 star?
No, he gave us 1 star twice with 2 reviews.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that there was a review there.
I want to find this person.
I hate the 1 stars that have no review. Like there's
yeah,
no.
Oh, yeah.
Like, come on, like shit on us a bit.
Yeah. I mean, if you're gonna get like if you gave us like 3 stars and nothing, I'm like okay.
Like
well,
I get it. We're kind of caustic. Like
yeah.
Sure. You know, like, it's fine. I get it.
Yeah.
You know, it makes sense. You know, we're very opinionated. We're sarcastic.
We don't normally talk about gaming that much.
Yeah. You know, gaming is tangentially involved in this podcast.
All right. And you could also listen to their sister podcast. We have Comic Book Logic Podcast, where me and Kevin talk about comic book movies. We, next weekend, we're going to put up a mini review of The Killing Joke. And then, like, a couple days afterwards, we're going to put up Suicide Squad. We want to give people some time to see it before we put up a review.
We're going to see that in IMAX.
Yeah. And then my daughter really wants to see that. And I'm like, you're 4. I'm not going to let you go see Suicide Squad.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what's in it.
Well, she just, like, when we went and saw Ghostbusters, there was a preview for it. And it had Harley Quinn in there. And she loves Harley Quinn. But she likes, you know... Bruce Timm Harley Quinn.
Sure.
And she was like, that's Harley Quinn? And I'm like, oh, God. She's like, we're in the short. I'm like, I'm not. We'll see it later when you're old enough. But it does have Will Smith in there, so it can't be that bad. Big Willy weekend.
Dang, I wish there was another Will Smith movie coming out so I could see too.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I'm sorry, Steve.
That's okay. I'll have a Big Willy weekend again soon. There was a Big Willy weekend not too long ago. I think it was Hancock and I Am Legend. I think that was a Big Willy weekend. I don't remember. I've seen every Will Smith movie except for Concussion.
What about the one that he just did recently with Margot Robbie, where they were like con artists?
Maybe I haven't seen that one yet.
Okay.
It's probably not on Netflix yet. Oh. If I see a Will Smith movie I haven't seen on Netflix, I watch it.
Okay. That's a little different. And then you could also listen to Pat's Retro Video Game Review Podcast, aka Play On, where they talk about video games. And Steve just yells at Pat.
Yeah.
You see Pokemon Go is
I yell near Pat.
has Pat surpassed its apex now already?
What do you mean?
It's going down in playership.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah.
There's no
that
game
was quick.
There. I mean, when you become number one by so much so quickly, there's going to be a precipitous drop because yeah. that's all apps work. You just don't see the drop because it's not as extreme. You know, it's like
that's
when
true.
When a ton of people download Twitter and like a bunch of like a percent leaves, it's like, okay, yeah, like 10,000 people left, you know, but this one is like, yeah, 10% left. So it's like 40 million people, you know.
All right. So, Steve, until next time, post-Gen Con.
Shake well, non-toxic, water-based, top-quality acrylic paints perfected for painting armies of wargaming miniatures. In case of eye contact, rinse with running water.
Game classy.